podcast is just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind. I swear these other podcasts are just a waste of time. I'm skipping through them, I'd rather listen and change my mind. Wes and Nick always help me through my daily grind. Your favorite guys, your favorite lines, change my mind.
Yeah. And welcome back to another edition of the Change My Mind podcast.
I won't change my mind because I don't have to, because I'm an American.
Yes, you are. And I'm Wesley Sykes. And through the other side of the ether is the Ed Screen to my Michael Hoisman. It's Mr. Nicholas J. Eskfryer, Dario Naharis for hire.
I just realized we were kind of dragging Hoisman. Michael, is that how you say it? Hoisman?
Who knows? It's a weird spelling either way. His first name, his last name. He's not doing himself any favors.
I kind of like dragged him versus Ed Screen for being like the not as impressive Dario Naharis. And then you go and do that to yourself.
Yeah. Well, you know, I was thinking Ed Screen, you know, Francis Ajax, Deadpool, Rob Liefeld, Nick Fryer. There's a whole like word association going on there, you know.
Gotcha. So that's his name is Dutch. I didn't realize that. I was wondering like what the
good for him.
Never seen Michael spelt that way.
There you go. If there's one thing I can't stand in this world, it's people who are intolerant of other people's countries and the Dutch. who is that? It's Michael Caine in Austin Powers Gold Member.
Oh,
Austin Powers' father.
Oh, okay.
And nice classic line that came out during World Cup time, you know. And anytime I think the U.S. played the Netherlands in, you know, quarterfinal, semifinal, but
Sweet and probably 16. Lost.
Yeah, for sure.
More than likely.
For sure here, but we're not talking about Game of Thrones. We're not talking about World Cup soccer. This week we are unfortunately conducting an exit survey on Zack Snyder's Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver. This is a little bit late, but again, you're not really missing much here, as we'll get to in a little bit. But Nick, you have an intro question this week. Lay it on us.
Yeah. So we just had Mother's Day come and go, and then we have Father's Day coming up in
around the corner. Yeah.
Obviously you're going to be celebrating that because you are a proud father. So you don't have to buy anything for Father's Day. Well, you do still have to buy things for Father's Day for your father.
Right. Yeah. But he's still kicking around.
I'm curious because I enjoy buying gifts for people, like for birthdays, for you know, for Christmas and whatnot. But I'm curious for you, is there a specific holiday that you find more challenging to buy gifts for? Because Mother's Day and Father's Day for me are a little bit challenging.
So Father's Day is easy because my dad just likes to golf. I like to golf. We usually go out golfing. That's like, I treat them to a round and lunch, you know, so you get the experience there. I'm bigger on the experiences than like actual physical material gifts. So from that aspect, like that's covered, you know, like that's pretty cut and dry for me. Mother's Day is a little bit tougher. And this is what I was coming on, you know, dealing with this past weekend, was that Vivian's birthday is April 14th. Julia's birthday is April 26th. And then Mother's Day,
damn,
is whatever, the second week in May or whatever, whenever it falls. It's shortly after that point. And it makes it tough because, you know, we spend all this money for Vivian's birthday. Then we have Julia's birthday. And then it's like Mother's Day, like right on the back tail of that. And it's like, all right, well, you know, do I blow everything on the birthday or how do I split that up evenly? It's like having a kid who's born like a week before Christmas or something, right. You know, like that's like, all right, you're getting split up. You're not getting double gifts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's tough. I will be in a similar boat to you at some point down the line because Lauren's birthday is also in May. So we'll be double up. We'll probably have days where we double up. But like for me, the big thing is my mom's birthday isn't until August. And then my dad, actually his birthday and Father's Day are a month apart. So that's kind of tough too. But my thing is like Mother's Day and Father's Day, like it is more like that, especially is more about let's spend time together, you know, and I'll get you something small because I'm going to get you something nice for Christmas. I'm going to get you something nice for your birthday. It's something that I hope is more personal to them. But then like for Father's Day and Mother's Day, the other thing is too, it's like if I could come up with like a kick-ass gift, I want to save it for your birthday because that means a lot more to you then, even for them at their, you know, older age. So or you know, you'd want to save the idea for Christmas if it's something you want to keep in the bank. So I like, that's why for me those two are a bit challenging, because I'm always like, I feel like I should be doing more, but if I go too far, then it's like, well, then I should save this for their birthday.
So the big gift, birthday, then yeah. Christmas, and then everything else falls in line there. Okay, I got you there. How about, you know, buying gifts? Like, who's the harder person to buy a gift for, your mom or your dad?
Ooh, my dad. My mom is not hard because she just appreciates like the thought that goes into it, like whatever it is. Like, I'll tell you what. So she came up and visited, and I got her flowers because my brother had also done a similar thing. So kind of trying to stay in line with one another for this. So I get her blue hydrangeas. That was her mother's favorite flower. And I get them the day before, Wes, because I'm thinking I'm going to get these flowers. They're in a pot. If I get them the day before, they're going to be fine. I'm not, I don't want to get them too far.
Should be, yeah.
Don't want them to die. I am not kidding. Like 10 minutes before my parents arrive, Lauren and I are setting up and like moving putting the flower in a certain spot. And then we're like, shit's wilted.
Oh, no.
What happened? And I'm like, listen, she's going to be fine. She's going to appreciate it no matter what. And I was right. But we poured some water in it. And by the time we get back from like our, you know, afternoon and everything, it's like the flowers were fine. Like they, like nothing ever happened.
Just a little thirsty.
Bizarre. I apparently, jeez.
It's like, you know, when you grab the milk that has the expiration date, it's like in front and it's like the expiration date is like 3 days from there. It's like, oh man, you got a bad batch. Like that was probably the most dehydrated one they were trying to get rid of. You know, it was getting close to that expiration date.
100%. Yeah. Always got, I watch out for that with spinach, especially. I'm very like, I'm always trying to get that extra couple days if I can.
Spinach is tough. That's a good call. That wilts pretty fast there. That's you get the bag spinach, right? And it's like, as soon as it opens, like you got to use it all.
I actually do the like plastic containers. Have you seen those?
Oh yeah. 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 We do that
and
as
I've,
well. Yeah, yeah.
And I actually learned a little hack for those. Not ideal for podcasting. Remind me afterwards.
Well,
and
I'll share it with you. Maybe I think it does. I think the people need to know. We may have Popeye listening here.
If you eat spinach and you get the plastic containers and then put a paper towel inside, like on the top of the spinach,
a damp paper towel.
Nope. Just grab like, it's like the half ones. Just put it right on there and then flip the container over. It will extend the life of your spinach by a few days.
Oh, I love that, Nick. Where did you see this?
My parents told me it. They did it, and I've been doing it.
It wasn't even a social media hack.
They probably saw it on the internet somewhere. I don't know where, but like that, they did that. Like
that's how you know. That's how you know it's the real deal. If the parents did that and it works, you know, like some, because you see all these life hacks, quote unquote, you know, on social media and stuff, and it's like, does this really make a difference? But that sounds like it would, you know, go the extra mile.
100%. And that you probably want to change the I don't know how often you'd want to change the paper towel over the life, but make a point of making sure that you change it here and there. But otherwise, like, yeah, it's I do that all the time now, and it is very effective for me.
I like that a lot, Nick. I'm going to keep that in mind because that's a big problem that we have. So yeah. Maybe you just solved that problem for us.
So frustrating. I hear that 100%. Once I found that out, I was like, oh God. And I've been stunned by like, I'm saying a couple days like to be conservative for everybody, but I've seen it extend it more significantly than that.
Wow. Okay. Well, we'll have to investigate that. I'll report back my findings for you. Maybe next week's episode.
Please do. Yeah. Please do. I hope it works.
I hope so too. You know what always works, Nick? It's your comic book minute. It's coming up right now.
Ah, a superb choice.
Well, how about that? This week in Marvel, we got X-Men Forever as we're closing out on the Krakoa era, and we're finding out we're going to be getting some new titles from X-Men as we, I think it's the Rise from the Ashes era. And Wes, I know we did that draft with Doc a little while back of X-Men characters, a character who is getting her own title, Dazzler. So everybody
Dazzler, okay.
But I was reading the tea leaves. I knew it was happening. I get the feeling like, okay, if Dazzler's getting a title, like she's always been around and I don't think she's ever had her own title before, and it may only be a mini series, but I gotta think, Wes, like this leads me to believe more so that with Taylor Swift as Dazzler in Deadpool Wolverine has gotta be in the cards.
I think that makes sense, right? Because if they're giving like, you know, their solo treatment for Dazzler on the comic book end, then they're kind of ramping that up. We've seen Dazzler in X-Men 97 mentioned a time or two, you know, so I think they're all just kind of teasing you and getting you ready for it. Then when that hits, oh, it's like, bam, get all the merch out there for you.
100%. Yeah. I mean, like, and the big thing would be, too, to try and make sure that you have more of Taylor Swift as Dazzler if you can, but maybe you don't need to. Maybe you just need to have it one time and then, you know, make good while you can on her and then on the character's like heightened popularity and then move on from there. But I'm like never been more convinced than now that Taylor Swift is going to play Dazzler just because of that alone. Then from
Wouldn't Image, it be great if Deadpool, you know, if the Deadpool movie killed her off, like she just had like a small cameo and then just never returns, like that feels like that would be appropriate.
That would be very funny, but there's no way in hell they're doing it if they're trying to capitalize on it. But that would be funny. I wouldn't be stunned if we never see her again. Like that would make sense. Like they because
sure she can't commit. Money. That's a long commitment. Yeah.
Yeah, and there's probably a lot of friggin' money too, as it should be.
But of course.
Anyways,
not to Taylor Swift though.
What?
Not to Taylor Swift.
What do you mean?
Not money. To her. Yeah, the money probably means nothing to her, right?
Right. From Image, we got Monolith Issue 1, which is another mini series from the Spawn universe. Redcoat Issue 2. From Boom, we got the Displaced Issue 4, which is one of my favorite titles of the year so far. And then Uncanny Valley Issue 2. For TLDR this week, Joe is going to be talking about a title that I have been dying to hear him talk about just so I can read it as soon as possible. Beneath the Trees Where Nobody Sees. And Wes, this is, how's it been marketed? Berenstain Bears meets Dexter.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Yes, it is like, so you got these cute animals and it is, you got at least one serial killer in the mix.
That's like, have you ever seen, what is it on I think it's the Imagination Land 3-part episode of South Park. I think this is it. And they bring back all the friendly furry characters. And they look almost like Disney pets or Disney like animals.
Okay.
And they all like rape and pillage everybody and like tear up people's guts and everything.
That sounds very, very familiar. That sounds very familiar. And then I'm going to be talking about Revival, which is an Image comic series from a few years back that actually just got the green light to be a sci-fi series. So I'll be checking that out and breaking that down for everybody in case you're interested in watching that show when that comes out on sci-fi. I'm not sure what year. I think it's next year maybe, but either way, that is it for the Comic Book Minute this week.
I love it. Okay, let's get down to brass tacks here in our main topic. This is, I always hate when movies do this. They add like extra things to it. So this is Rebel Moon M-Part 2: The Scar Giver.
Yep.
You know, there's like all this extra stuff to it. You know what I mean? It's like, all right, we don't need the M-Part. Do we need Part 2? Do we need the colon to it? You know, like the Marvel movies are big on this. It's, you know, Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness, you know, or it's like Thor, Love and Thunder.
Yeah, this is a friggin' mouthful. I'm with you. Like, I'm not a huge fan of
This is a bit of overkill.
Yeah, this is, you know, I get it with Marvel where it's like there's like that. I'm sure there's like an SEO element for people looking it up and that kind of nonsense. And I'm sure that's the same thing with Rebel Moon. But at the same time, it's just like, you got other things to worry about before SEO.
Yeah, but you don't need like the SEO, like the Part 2, the call. It should just be Rebel that's Moon, true. The Scar Giver.
That's also true.
Not going to boost you in the rankings. You know what I mean? Like,
so that's very true. Yeah, it definitely didn't help us with our scores.
Zack Snyder doesn't like editors. So yeah, he wants it as long as this is the director's cut of movie title.
That's fair. Very well put. It's very true. So synopsis, let's see how the editors did here. Korra and surviving warriors prepare to defend Velt, their new home, alongside its people against the realm. The warriors face their pasts, revealing their motivations before the realm's forces arrive to crush the growing rebellion. That you could have just done the first sentence and been fine.
Yeah, again, you know, this is the director's cut. I mean, how much can we use that joke throughout this whole podcast here?
A lot yeah. Today.
We're already at two here. So yeah. This was written and directed by, of course, Zack Snyder, starring Sofia Boutella as Korra, Djimon Hounsou as Titus, Ed Skrein as Atticus Noble, Michael Hussman as Gunner, Bay Duna as Nemesis, Anthony Hopkins voicing Jimmy, Staz Nair as Tarek, Fra Fee as Belisarius, Cleopatra Coleman as Devra, Stuart Martin as Den, Ingvar Sigurdsson as Hagen, Alfonso Herrera as Cassius, Elise Duffy as Milius, Sky Young as Eris, and Charlotte Maggie as Sam.
This is a 5.2 out of 10 on IMDb, and then it has a 16-1-6-49 split on Rotten Tomatoes, and a 3.2 out of 5 on Google reviews, with 59% of Google users liking this movie.
We often talk about a huge disparity between the audience and the critic score, and that is true in this, but they're both right. It's you know, rare that you have such a discrepancy and both agree that it's bad.
Yeah, and especially from a critical standpoint, like giving this a 16, I don't say that often. Like I always feel like, you know, when I feel like people will give like really, really low grades when it's like, do you really know what like something that bad for that bad of a score is? But honestly, we don't go that low on our grades, but for this movie. But at the same time, I understand it.
Yeah, I think the Unfrosted movie, the Jerry Seinfeld, I think it's supposed to be a mockumentary about the Unfrosted Pop-Tart.
Oh,
you know, that just came out. I think it might be on Netflix. And that's getting critically bad reviews there. And it's like pretty low, actually. It might be around the 16 ranking there. Yeah, it might be. Actually, while you're giving the tweet length review, I'll search that there.
Okay, so I gave this a 68 out of 100. The potential is there, but this fell flat. First hour of this movie could have easily been cut in half and maybe made a lot better if you just did that. And as expected, the action was the movie's strongest element, which then also, to stray away from now my tweet link review, that being the case, like that's where I see that discrepancy in the Rotten Tomatoes score. Like that, the 49 that the audience has given it by and large, they appreciate the action. They enjoy the action. Critics, I mean, I'm not saying they don't like it, but when it comes to grading, like that's usually more of a knock than anything.
To tie up that loose end, Unfrosted, I was wrong. 41-54 split. So not good by any stretch of the imagination, but just not that bad to get a 16. My score and tweet length review for The Scargiver, we got the same score. It's a 68 out of 100.
Ooh.
This lacks quality storytelling, in my opinion. The Scargiver drags at times and doesn't get me invested in the lead characters as much as I should to really buy into their cause and get behind them. It's kind of boilerplate. It's kind of predictable in that sense. But the second installment does offer some intriguing visuals, which you expect out of Zack Snyder films, and cool sci-fi action. So that's the good parts I'll say about it.
Yeah. You know, we could have given this a lower grade for sure.
But you know, but this is a low grade for us though. You
it
know,
is.
Like if you look at our bell curve of all the movies that we've reviewed, like we've said this previously, like a 70 is a bad movie for us in a lot of ways.
Yes. 70 is like, if you're below 70, then you fucked up. Like,
for
on our grading scale. But anyways, we got a lot more than our score to get into. So once you
unfortunately, Nick, was this better, worse, or equal to the first installment, which was Child of Fire?
Yeah, this is absolutely worse. There's no question about it. You and I were in a similar ballpark to one another in that one, but substantially higher on that movie, much higher than everybody else. So the first movie, I gave it a 79. You gave it an 83. As for
that one hurts me a little bit.
Oh, you think
I might want to retroactively drop that down a little bit. Maybe that comes up in our year-end review there. I'll have to keep that in mind.
I was going to say we have that episode just for that. But when it comes to the Rotten Tomatoes score, at least when we did our episode, which is 253 of Change My Mind, it was a 23-58 split on Rotten Tomatoes. So pretty like so similar, but again, like further proving like that was a better movie than this one was.
Yes. Yeah. And part of this, I think maybe for me at least, was the lack of, hype around this movie, and like everyone clearly shitting on it by the time that we got around to it, that my expectations weren't nearly the same. Came in a little bit more open-minded on the first one. The second one here, as you might be able to tell through my nasally voice here, I've been nursing a fever the last couple of days. So I watched this movie in the midst of my cold. And I swear to you, Nick, I think my fever might have spiked through this movie, maybe due to this movie. It didn't make me feel any better. But also, probably in fairness, wasn't in the right mindset to really consume everything in the best way possible.
Maybe it was just all a dream, Wes.
It could have been. It was a fever dream. You know, that that probably would be better for Zack Snyder, actually.
Yeah, probably. But yeah, there's no question, like, healthy, sick, rain or shine, this is definitely a worse movie than the original. And it's not a, you know, the you know, original sequel thing. Like, this is very much a continuation of the original.
Yeah, so this is like one movie, essentially, right? This is like Deathly Hallows Part 1 and Part 2.
Yeah, it is. Yet Zack Snyder didn't have enough room in the first movie. It got cut down too much. So I'm sure this one's the same fucking thing.
Yeah, which is confusing because we just looked back at the first installment here. But now we look ahead to the future. And are you more or less or equally excited for the final installment? So this would be the sequel to the two-part movie saga.
I'm very right? much... Yeah.
Is that what you would call it?
Very much down on this franchise. And quite honestly, Wes, the more we talk about it. So if the first one was, it was 2 hours, right? Or was it 2.5 hours?
Yeah, probably. I don't think, like you said, I don't think Zack Snyder can make a movie in 90 minutes. So.
No, he can't. And I mean, he can't do it in he can't do it in 2 hours either. Yeah. I mean, like 2 hours is fine. Like that there's, if you cut it at that, usually most people are going to be fine. But anyways, if let's call it two on both of these, and you let's say he needed another hour for both of them, which is even more so not the case with this movie versus the original. So that brings you to what, 6 hours? That's a season of a show. And then if you do the other one, and let's say that one ends up being 2 hours and he wanted it to be three, you still have a 9-episode show. Like, just do that. I don't get it. It's bizarre.
Yeah, I'll like we were saying before we went on air here, it's like I want to defend Zack Snyder. I don't think he's as bad as the naysayers suggest he is. I've probably said this 1,000 times on the podcast whenever we talk about any of his movies. I want to defend him, but he makes it very hard on himself.
Yeah, I mean, I remember when 300 came out, and that was like, that was my introduction to him. I didn't see Watchmen until after the fact. Mm-hmm. And I was always like, what's everybody's issue with him? And I know that the whole, like the fan base stuff is a whole other thing.
Oh, but, like DC. Right. Yeah.
But I don't get, like, I'm seeing it now. Like, it's just, maybe it's just him as a writer. I don't know. More so here. Cause this is brutal.
Well, and 300 appeals to the teenage boy that I was at that time, you know.
That's fair.
We talked about this the first time, I think, when we reviewed Child of Fire. It's the Spartan 300. My high school was the Spartan, so that like played a role in pep rallies and everything, and it was easy to identify with. But all that stuff was just so cool.
Yeah, that's true, and that
slow
definitely
motion
helped.
Kick down like into the pit. You know, like I don't know that I can't think of his name. Gerard Butler does. You know, you see him kicked to the chest, and the guy falls right in. That stuff's awesome.
Yeah, and with that one, and with Watchmen, and I don't know how those are sure. like, graded on Rotten Tomatoes. They're both based off. Well, 300 is based off an older story, but that was a graphic novel by Frank Miller, and then Watchmen, of course, Alan Moore. So it's like he has, and I'm not. He, I think Sucker Punch was also a comic, but he didn't. He didn't do too well with that one. So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I think honestly, you just look at his whole thing where he's like, you know, oh, this isn't my cut of it. This isn't my version of it. It's like, well, you need to figure it out. Like you're not that. That's the issue at the end of it all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think for me, am I like more excited or less excited for the last installment? I think I'm just indifferent, which is probably the worst place to be. It's like, I don't care. I'm just like impassioned. Yeah. Unimpassioned about this movie.
That's definitely not good. It's just like we're gonna be able to. I wonder how many people are watching it in its entirety.
I don't blame it, because like you think of the other like note that I have about the industry overall. When we mentioned Zack Snyder can't make a movie at under 2 hours, like that's the case for a lot of movies these days. Like I think The Fall Guy was good, but I don't think that had to be 2+ hours. You know. And as attention spans continue to drop to like equivalent levels of a goldfish, you know, in the human mind, and where everything is a short reel or YouTube, you know, short or whatever, everything comes so fast. Why are they still making these 2 hour plus movies?
Yeah, I for me, I think two is like my line of like, no, because like Fall Guy was like 2:10. I think it's 2:11. Yeah. For me, like that doesn't bother me. But when you start creeping to 2:20 range. I guess that's my line of demarcation. I don't know why I keep getting these freaking thumbs up on
Twitter. Oh, I like it. Well, AI's agreeing with you. They're like, yes, yes, keep it under 2 hours.
Anyways, if it for me, I think the line of demarcation is like 215. So that like that's where I'm okay with it. Two, I'm like, this is great. I don't and generally Wes, that's not a thing I've thought about a ton. But once you start like if we're at home and it's like 2.5 hours, I'm like, okay, what time is it? Like I gotta because I don't want to fall asleep.
Yeah, in the middle of the movie. Sure. Yeah, no, absolutely. And I think like you know, like I said, I love Fall Guy. Fall Guy was great, but it's really just a movie that features two actors who have great chemistry together and a lot of cool stunts. So like the story is kind of inconsequential ultimately. Mm. So like this could have been, you know, that could have been a 90-minute movie, you know, under 2 hours, hour and a half. And I think you still get the same idea.
Yeah, I think I can see where you cut it to two and you're probably fine.
Yeah.
And they are factoring in the credits on some of those.
That's what I wonder too, actually. That's a good question.
Cause Snyder's actually in fairness to him, I guess, the credits for this was 10 minutes long.
Oh, so, really?
Yeah. That feels long, doesn't it?
That does feel, I just assume like 5 minutes.
That's what I thought. I
never really stay. You know, now that like you can find all the mid and end credit scenes online, like after a Marvel movie comes out, you know, I haven't really had to do the pee dance anymore, you know, where I'm just like sitting a couple times. I think this might have been No Way Home or Far From Home. I remember standing up at the back of the theater, again, doing the pee dance, waiting, like, come on, give it to me, because I got to like rush out of the theater to go to the bathroom. But I haven't had to do that in a while.
Yeah, well. There you go.
But back to this movie. We got a little bit off the rails there, but good conversation nonetheless. Was there a most rewatchable scene? And if so, what was it?
I mean, it's just the part of the movie that's all the action, by and large.
Yep.
Personally, I think the surprise attacks at the start of the fight were awesome. Like when you see that first guy pop out of the whatever the hole in the ground is not
the trench there. Yeah,
trench.
Yeah.
Thank you. The hidden trench. Like once he pops out of there and blows up that first ship, I was like, oh shit, that was great. And I thought like the first bit of action in this was awesome. But then it like, it's just kind of like, okay.
It does kind of drag on. It kind of feels like it's like a step and repeat. Like, okay, we'll just do the same similar stuff. We have the guy, you know, the machines on the ground. They just keep coming in waves. Yeah, like you think you get them done, and then it's like they all cheer and they think the war's over. Then you see like another wave of people coming in, and then it's like, all right, well, what are we doing here? I agree. I love the guerrilla warfare tactics. I thought that was the most interesting part. And although it didn't land for me, I think a part that sticks with me is seeing the background, that the conversation that Titus has the night before the war and before the Regim Belisarius, I think that's the name of the empire, quote unquote.
Yeah,
comes to collect all the wheat. They had the sit down, and it, like I said, it wasn't super effective for me. But you get the backstory of all the other leaders of this group here, and you kind of see like how they became to this point in time. And I think that's some of that was kind of interesting, but it was almost like a last ditch effort to be like, get invested in this, root for these guys.
I liked that whole bit, but I think your point of like the last ditch effort is a good call, because
it's like an exposition dump, you know, like let me explain to you what happened all these years ago that led us to this point. And it's like they're literally sitting around a table, you know, it's a little on the nose.
I really think it would have been a lot easier to take, like, I just think in general it would have been more effective actually if you didn't have the first 45 minutes or whatever the hell it was of people just like chopping down wheat, whatever.
Absolutely. Yeah. We'll get to in slow mo too, in classic Zack Snyder fashion. I agree 100% to you. Yeah. What will age the best from this movie?
So on the note of those stories, Nemesis is like origin story of how she became what she is. That was awesome. Very badass. Like she's one of the cooler characters in all this, but learning how like she was from a village that was peaceful, but wasn't always peaceful. And then once she became the only surviving, individual after this, the Empire's attack, the king, whatever the hell it's called, she like had to turn to like these old ancient weapons, and like she hacks off one of her arms, and just like you learn how there was already intensity there with her and how these weapons have like kind of led to more of that to come out of her. So similar like to what you're saying about like Titus, his story, same thing. Like he's mm-hmm. going to be, he in general, like this was for, of all the characters, like he probably had the best movie all around, not to get too ahead of ourselves.
I agree. Yep. Absolutely. I thought Titus was great. And again, that little note, like this conversation will come up at in our next question, but Cora points out that he's been pretending to drink alcohol, but he's really been drinking water because he cares so much about the fight. Classic mm-hmm. deflection, by the way. Just like,
yes.
Yeah, any drugstore psychologist could point that out and be like, all right, let's get back on track here.
Yeah. The end where the rebel forces show up with the ships, I am a sucker for like ships coming in out of nowhere to kind of save the day. Like seen it in Star Wars plenty of times, and I do enjoy that quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And then to kind of tie back into what we're talking about with the most rewatchable scene, the initial fighting in the assault on Velt, mm-hmm. when Den, like everything that Den did was mm-hmm. awesome. I don't know.
And he didn't really have too much of a big role in the first movie.
No, but I don't know if he was the one who first blew up the ship, but that I think it was him, but the grenade throw that he did. That was a good use of the slow motion stuff. Like I enjoyed that bit of it. So
he gets a little 1v1 action with Atticus Noble there, you know, and he nobly fights him.
Yep.
But you know, I mean, they don't know that. I guess they got to know that he's like a machine.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm maybe they figured it out, but like we all knew like that guy was going to die. But I thought like he had a strong showing. In his
Absolutely. Feeling. I mean, because like in that first movie, he didn't really say a whole lot. You know, I think him and Cora had a little bang after the feast there one night, and then that was kind of it.
That was him.
But okay. he was kind of like he's kind of like the alpha of the village.
That's right. Well, he definitely showed up for that. That's for sure.
For sure. I agree. So, yeah, we have Titus there. How about just the space Amish people just being great hosts? They throw a great party. You know, they welcome all the people back there. Like, have this great feast. We're not going to eat any of it because we're too ashamed to ask for help.
Yep.
But here's our gratitude.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They do throw a good party.
Yeah, they do. I agree. Yeah. The and then, you know, we mentioned this, but the space Amish's guerrilla warfare tactics. Pretty good, you know. Like, is it on the? Like, I think that's a pretty good defense mindset there. Let's harvest all the wheat, and let's put it around all of our houses and homes, so they can't just like blow us up from afar. They got to come and meet us on our home turf, where we have the advantage because we know the grounds. Yeah. And then obviously you see what they, you know, what they're able to do.
Yeah, no, the way they like the way that was all strategized was really well done. Like really,
Titus knows his shit.
Yeah, that was I liked that component of it very much.
Yeah, the preparation and like the of the defense and the training, that was a cool montage. But what we'll get to and what aged the worst from this movie is the extended space Amish townspeople harvesting the wheat in slow motion Zack Snyder fashion, like 10 minutes of it.
Was it only 10 minutes? It was insane.
Yeah, I was just kind of giving a round number guess. I wouldn't be surprised if it was a little more, a little less, you know, and there's different things happening throughout there. You know, it's not just a focus on, you know, the harvesting. There's other things, there's soliloquies happening. There's little breaks to like show like individual characters communicating, but it's not good.
The first hour I stand by it, like should have been a half hour. It's insane. Like seriously on the harvest thing alone, like I think it was at the 54 minute mark. It's like, okay, we're shifting into like mm-hmm. the fight's about to happen. If you cut out 10 minutes of that, this movie's, you know, now we're under 2 hours. Now maybe it's a little bit less annoying, but by the time we got those stories right before the fight, I was like, thank God we're about to get this thing going. And okay, oh, we got to me, where I hear what you're saying about like how it was hard for you to get invested, for me, it was like, oh, this, okay, now we have something kind of interesting.
Mm-hmm.
going on. Like, what the fuck? It's recap and harvesting. That's what the whole first hour was.
Yeah, you really got to see how to use a sickle and to, you know, crop or plow a crop.
Not even used in a fight either. Like, what the hell?
No. No, like, but it could be interesting. That's the Grim Reaper. Maybe that's what the Grim Reaper uses.
Could have been a good callback if you just used it in a fight scene, you know, but
death was on its way. So what else aged the worst from this? Jimmy not intervening earlier.
Oh, okay.
You know, like he was right there. Like, what's he doing?
I think he's a weird character, just period. Like, I get it, but at the same time, it just feels odd. And maybe it's because you have Anthony Hopkins voicing it, honestly.
Maybe. But this guy can't be beat. You know, they're made to be, like, indestructible in a sense, right? Because they're just supposed to be, like, mm-hmm. like grunts.
But Anthony Hopkins isn't the voice of, like, a robot to me. Like, he's too, like...
Yeah, it's too, like, yeah, yeah, philosophical. But maybe that's what they're going for.
Yeah, but...
Like a robot with some heart.
That's, I guess that's fair. It's a weird fit.
I wanted it to be more because like I remember at the end of Child of Fire, you see him kind of overlooking everything, and it's like, oh, he's going to become the badass of this movie.
I mean, his fight scene was cool. Don't get me wrong. Cool.
Yeah,
but you know what? Actually, now that I'm thinking about it, like this is an example of like just bad voice acting too. Like Anthony Hopkins just goes in and does his own voice.
I don't think it was bad. I don't know, maybe just indifferent on it. I don't really feel one way or the other.
He comes in and just does his own voice. And I get it how most of the time, like that's what works. And obviously I don't know how much voice acting he's done over his career, but it just doesn't for a robot. It doesn't fit for me.
How about all the space Amish townspeople all being a really good shot naturally?
Yeah, this was when I was like, I felt like we saw two people that were like natural good shots, and then that was it.
Yeah, but it's like just natural. It's like, okay, all right, what are we? Everyone can just like chop up a scarecrow, and everyone can shoot a pretty good shot there. It's like, all right.
You know, I will say too, they like didn't. No, they had one of the main. Obviously, one of them. Den died. Like of the townsfolk, they had a main townsfolk. So I will give like that's one thing you got to give this movie. Like there are stakes. Like
some of them, yeah, for sure. But I do agree because I was wondering, like a couple times throughout this battle, like how many of their people died because you keep seeing them fall down. So it's like A, how many people are in the village?
That is true.
B, what are the casualties? Because by the end of it, it looks like it's the full village people.
Yes, that is actually a very good call. I agree with you 100% on that. So
it kind of threw me out, and it looked like they were getting, you know, their doors knocked in for a while.
Yep, 100%. This is a great point. 100%. That is absolutely something that leaves terribly.
Yeah. We talked about this a little bit. Cora not sharing her truth when everyone else is pouring out their trauma at the table beforehand.
It's weird for me specifically because we just heard it. Mm-hmm. Right, because it was right, we heard it right before that moment, if I'm not mistaken.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like, save that for later.
Just right, like, show it. Right. And that's the big reveal at the end. She's the last one to go, and like everyone's got these sob stories of how they were, poorly treated by the Regis Belisarius, and she was the one who like did a lot of that. You know, so it's like her trauma is very different, is the guilt of having all those deaths on her hand while everyone else was like, this happened to me.
Do you think that if they had saved that for the full telling of what happened with the assassination of the royal family, do you think if they saved that for later, like after the whole fight, that you would have had an easier time accepting her not sharing her full story?
Maybe. I don't know. But again, I don't like the deflection at the end that seemed to be like in such a serious moment. I mean, you see like tears coming down Titus's eyes, and then she's like, well, Titus is not drinking anymore. So, you know, don't point the finger at me. You know, let's talk about him. And it's like, okay. They're like, was that supposed to be like a comical moment, like a comic relief moment? If so, it didn't land.
Yeah, I think. Yeah, there's a few different ways that you can spin that one where it's like it could have been done a little bit better. One of the things for me was like on the note of Cora, where she's like trying to give herself away at the start of the fight. And it's like, do you like I appreciate that and understand why you would want to do that. However, do you really think that Noble is just going to be like, oh, yeah, we'll do this and we'll accept it. He's not going to blow it away.
Yeah, exactly. You can't trust him at that point.
Yeah. It was like, if you don't have, what's his name? The Darren Harris number two, Gunner. If you don't have him there, it's like, what you should give it a, like the whole thing just goes to shit and everybody probably dies, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, that's a very good point. I thought that was an interesting, because like I didn't think of that all the way through. It's like, all right, that's great. They don't need the wheat. They can go straight back to, you know, their mother world or whatever it is. And then, you know, she does the sacrifice thing. Great. Now, you don't have much of a movie at that point. But, yeah, you know, the idea of it, I can get behind. A nice little sacrifice.
If that had been part of their plan, was like, yes, we'll do this. And then she's going to take them down or like from the inside. Then okay, but she was like, no, I'm gonna legitimately give myself up. There's no way that's gonna work, dude. They're gonna destroy everything on that moon if you just do that. How you're trusting this guy in some capacity, like, you know, he can't be trusted at all.
Exactly. I'm with you on if we could go back to what aged the best real quick. This is a little side note. These tissues that you see me blowing my nose with, they are aging fantastic. They're puffs with Vicks vapor rub on them.
Oh, nice.
When you inhale, you got a little like methane, like kind of going right up your nose there. Kind of opens up the passageways. Highly recommend. Great stuff.
Look at that. This is turning into the health podcast of the DHT.
Yeah, well, it's an ad placement is what that is. It's a dynamic ad placement.
There you go. So what else? Oh, Noble's cocoon.
Yeah, I'm interested. What do you have? I thought that was kind of interesting. I like the hospital, the doctors there too. I think they're kind of creepy and cool looking.
That's all fair. I just think it was really nasty. Like I didn't need that.
It's kind of like a Matrix moment, you know?
Yeah. Well, I guess I guess that bothered me a little bit more. Maybe I was just more negative mindset watching this versus The Matrix, in fairness.
For sure. For sure.
And then I almost forgot this one, Wes. And this is brutal. I remember watching the movie and thinking, like, how the fuck does this happen? This is where, like, you need to let editors work and not be breathing down their necks while they're trying to do their friggin' job. So in the battle, when you have Tarek and Titus, like, getting up side by side and they take the bridge, there's an instance where there's a slow motion scene with the two guys, and you're like watching them from their side. So you have their profile. Tarek, and I understand this movie's like PG-13. I get that. But Tarek does this axe chop in slow motion, and you see it. He's basically like, it's like this final whack on a guy on like the back of his calf, and you just see like it whack and then bounce off. Like, that stuff worked in Lord of the Rings years ago because it was a different time. It was PG-13 and they weren't doing this slow motion shit on these kind of things as much, at least that I can recall. Like, this, it looks so dumb. I was like,
you draw attention to it with the slow motion. Yeah.
Exactly. And I'm sure there are plenty of people who aren't going to notice it, but I'm like, you know, you do enough slow motion stuff, I'm going to be paying attention to the little details because you're doing it so often. Insane.
Now, I don't know if this age is the best or the worst now that I'm like really thinking about it, but the Space Amish, how do they dig those trenches, harvest the wheat, turn it into flour, and train in 5 days' time? But then I think, like, have you ever seen a time-lapse video of like an Amish community putting up a big barn house in like a 1 day's time? Oh, it's fantastic. It's great. It goes up like literally so fast, and it's probably 12 hours, but they have, you know, 20 men working on it throughout the whole day. You got to look it up on like YouTube, or I'm sure Twitter even has it if you go and search it. But yeah, so I'm wondering, like, my initial thought is that age is the worst because you just don't have that much time. But the Amish, the American, not Space Amish, but the American Amish are so efficient, you know, that maybe it is possible.
Do you want another 20 minutes of this movie explaining and showing how that happened? Was that what you want?
I guess so. Yeah. Maybe they all just sit around a table like Titus did, and they all just share about the insights. Like, all right, you led up the trench digging, you led up the harvest week to kind of give us the whole plan here.
Or just like flip things on their head and have Zach Snyder do like a fast forward version like you're talking about with the version you've seen, and just have really fast building it.
Now, see, that would be kind of funny. That's the comedic relief I was looking for.
That would be funny. So there you go, Zack Snyder. Fast forward some shit in your movies in the future. People might actually laugh.
There we go. Now we're talking. Best performance by a side character.
Den. I mean, he just came in and you know, went down fighting, had his cool moments. I thought he did a great job for what he was there for.
Yes, I agree. It's Den. But a couple honorable mention nominations here. Aris, who was the soldier turned good guy.
Oh,
the young boy who has a crush on Sam.
Yep.
I thought that was kind of interesting. I don't know. I thought he was like a side. There's not many side characters who have a good amount of screen time on this.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of thought like as soon as they attack the barn where he's like the second line of defense next to Nemesis, he just gets knocked on his ass right away.
That's a good point. That's a good point there. He is kind of boyish there.
Yeah.
He
did save Sam right afterwards. I'll grant him that, but not enough to be in conversation with Den for me.
Maybe this should have been what aged the best, but Tarek wearing a zoot suit in his home world at his father's funeral, I thought that aged pretty well. He looked like a zoot suit daddy.
I did not know that was him actually in that moment. I thought that was his dad. And then
I thought so too. I was a little confused, but I think it was the father who had died that they were presenting, and he was walking in their funeral the whole time, right? Just
didn't recognize him without the flow. I mean,
he needs
that all the time.
How about the boy who came to Nemesis's defense? Nemesis's.
That was nice. I really liked that. Like,
I knew something was going to happen. I knew there was going to be some sort of sacrifice play one way or the other when he first went up and was tickling her with the wheat straw. And I was like, you're going to have to remember this. She gives a little smile. He's scared. They exchange looks back and forth. It's like, all right, this is going to come back into play.
100%. I guess I didn't expect it to play it out like it did. And I'm glad that he came to her defense where everybody else is just watching. And it's like,
yeah,
someone maybe step up for like a split second. I don't know. So.
Yeah, she just lost her hand, you know, after she had already lost her hands. This is the third hand she lost.
That's right. Yes.
You can't say that very often, you know?
Yeah, this is very true.
Who lost the movie?
It's Zack Snyder, 1000%. I mean, worse than the other one, and the other one was like dragged also. And now we still have this third one coming. Netflix must be like, what the fuck did we do?
And then we got the director's cuts, the Snyder cuts too, I would imagine. God.
Oh,
but maybe not. Maybe those won't come out.
His like wackadoo fan base better be like pretty significantly sized, like because otherwise it's like, dude, what are you gonna do? Like, I just don't know who's going to want to work with him again.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, maybe people like working with him. Maybe he's like a good director on stage. Like, I don't know, on set. But I don't know anything about that. But, you know, it's tough to be able to give him X amount of money if you're a studio and be like, here, fulfill your dreams. You know,
that's more so what I'm referring to. Like, what studio is going to want to, like, he's going to have to do his own thing and take gambles on himself and then try and sell it. Like,
which
could work, but I don't know, man. You got to figure it out.
But how expensive is that slow-mo CGI? You know, like he's going to have to be, you know, maybe that will force him to be a bit of an editor. Who knows? Using his own money.
I don't think he's familiar with the word.
It's true. That's a good point. Just like we were talking about with Nemesis, not many people who lose three arms in one life. Atticus Noble, you know, it's not often that you die twice.
This is true.
By the same person.
This is true. Yep. He got smoked.
And he better die, you know, because like he couldn't go back and defeat, go back to his leader there, to the Empire, and be like, yeah, man, she got us again.
Yeah, 100%.
The humble farmers we were talking about, they turned out they're pretty stocked and locked.
And I'll tell you what, too, like the I said this in the tweet length review, but now you mentioned his death and like you can't bring him back. My whole thing is just like you just can't bring him back from a story standpoint.
You can't do it. Yeah.
But I like the ideas that he had, that Snyder had for all this, aren't terrible. Like the bones of this franchise are not bad. There's just a lot of like plot stuff that is rushed or like poorly handled, and there's a lot of things that like we don't need that we get too much of. It, like specifically in this movie, the Harvest stuff. So there's like room here. If I don't know, maybe if he's not the writer, like I don't, it just somewhere along the way, this could have been done a lot better.
I agree. If we're sticking on a health theme, this podcast, this is like getting a normal body and then giving it seed oils. And you just get like this excess fat that just grows on your body that you can't get rid of.
There you go.
You know, it's not junk food because junk food is sweet tasting and enjoyable to a sense, but it is bad for you. But it's just like the stuff that you don't realize. It's just filler that's in there that makes you fat.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
makes you unsightly.
it's wild because I sure, like, we, when we watched the first one, like, I feel fine with my grade still that I gave it. I don't know how much more you want to
I would go into the high C range where we would be neighbors.
Okay, so it's like, you know, both could have been a lot better than that. They had the bones to be more, but
I agree. Was there a winner from this movie, Nick?
Titus is the closest thing to a winner in this movie.
Yeah, I agree.
But even then, like, there was like some lines delivered by Jimon Hounsou that was like forced. And I don't know if acting could have fixed it, but like the writing again was just not good.
Yeah, exactly. He was working with the best that he could there. I thought Titus was the most likable, most rootable character here. Another thing that aged the worst was Cora's haircut. Just Sophia Boutella is so beautiful. You know, like, she does not need to have like a high and tight, weird haircut that she had there.
You know, I get the symbolism of it. And generally, I'm like, for the sake of the story, what's more important? But I will say, like, when she was cutting her hair, I was like, God. I do like the short hair on her a lot.
The short hair works. I think it's tough for even just short hair girls, like right around like the ears or like the jawline. Mm. Like, that could be tough to pull off, but she looks great.
Yep.
But when I have longer hair than her, that's, I don't know.
Yeah.
Not for me.
Again, get it for the story, but this is one of those times where it's like, no, I don't want that.
Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure how much of a difference it made. You know, all the symbolism and everything.
This is true. The other thing. It's like, you don't, of all the things that, yeah.
It's like Natalie Portman shaving her head in V for Vendetta. You know, like, I can see that. G.I. Jane for, what's her name there? Demi Moore. You know, like, that stuff makes sense because it's a part of the movie. Even though, like, I would hate to see Natalie Portman bald again. Again, mm-hmm. another beautiful angel. Mm-hmm. But yeah, it's like, for the movie, okay, I get it. And I think she really did shave her head for that.
Yeah, but for this, there's so much wrong with this. We get it, but like,
you starring in this movie is bad enough. Okay, you know, like, you don't need to chop off your hair while doing it.
Oh wow, I don't think you think she's bad.
No, I don't think she's bad, but like, being attached to the movie now is probably not great for her, you know.
No, it's definitely. Yeah, I can't imagine. Yeah,
maybe not, but you know, like, at least from a fan perspective,
this is like her shot to be like the leading lady and be this badass female character, and like,
yeah, dude, like Jennifer Lawrence and like Hunger Games, like, this is that type of thing, or sure. Like,
I don't think she's bad, but I also don't think she's like overwhelmingly great. I think she's like, she's just the subject of being in like a bad movie more than anything. Like,
yeah.
It's one of those instances.
I'm sure she was paid very well.
Yes, this is true. But I agree. Like, from a career standpoint, like, she's going to probably need like a, she won't be able to bounce back into like another leading role necessarily.
Yeah. Who knows? Maybe she'll like go the exact opposite way and go into like a rom-com or something. That'd soften her up a little bit.
That'd be funny.
So that's the exit survey, Nick. You gave it a 68. I gave it a 68. That's a CMM aggregate score of carry the 268 there.
Look at that.
Look at that there. So that's now streaming on Netflix if you want to go see it, or if you just listen to us and then we dissuade you, then I'm sorry, Zack Snyder. Or you're welcome.
Everybody else. Yes. We're here for the people.
But now it's time to grab your tickets because the train is leaving the station, ladies and gentlemen.
Choo-choo, bitches.
Mother's Day, Nick, Mother's Day. We talked about at the top of this show in the intro question how this might be one of the toughest gift-buying holidays of the year for us. But mm-hmm. How was Mother's Day other than that?
It was lovely. My parents came up, and I wanted to meet them halfway, but they wanted to come up and visit here. And
they chose you over your brother, huh?
Oh, they saw my brother the weekend before. So, no. Yeah.
Well, you get the real day, though.
This is true. We went to this little Mexican restaurant
Jake
recently opened up nearby us, and then I also went to Friendly's and did a little shopping outside of that. So we had a really nice time. So
did you say you went to Friendly's?
Yes. Yeah.
Oh my God, what'd you have?
I just did two. You know what? I'm glad you asked this. I did two scoops of mint chocolate chip, which whatever. Okay. But my dad got ice cream, which he doesn't always do that. And my mom and I both love ice cream. Mm-hmm. And she hadn't had it in a long time. She was really excited. She used to go to Friendly's all the time when she was a kid. And she's like, I'm going to get the like the peanut butter hot fudge type thing. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes, yes, I do. So, the Reese's Pieces Sundae?
Not the whole thing. Like, she got cookies and cream with the peanut butter fudge. Just that.
Gotcha. Yeah, so, okay.
So she asked for that. I get chocolate sprinkles. My dad does the same thing. Mm-hmm. We always get those. So when I get chocolate sprinkles or rainbow sprinkles, whatever, I don't know about you. I don't know if you ever get them, but like you expect it to be like covered in that stuff, right?
Yeah, at least the top, at least like the whipped cream or something, if you got the whipped cream on it. But yeah, yeah.
It was a sprinkling of the sprinkles. I was like blown away. It was like nothing. And then my mom got her fudge, and my mom is not one to say this, but she was like, I was a little disappointed with how much like hot peanut butter fudge I got. I
really?
Like, yeah, and I didn't blame her when I handed it to her.
Like, man.
There's not a lot on this.
Well, there's not a lot of friendlies in general. There used to be a whole bunch. Now there's only one near me, and that's in Plymouth. And it's just not enough to make the trip over there for it. But, friendlies used to be a big part of my childhood. We used to go there as, like, our friends in the neighborhood. We would ride our bikes and, like, hang out there on, like, a Friday, Saturday night till closing and just, like, eat a sampler and some ice cream and just sit there with, like, and drink water the whole time.
I'm kind of confused why it died in the way that it did.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know either. I thought the food was really good. Like, I love, they have some of the best mozzarella sticks around. Their like chicken sandwich, chicken melts that they used to have. It was like a barbecue cheddar chicken bacon melt. So it's like fried chicken fingers, bacon, cheddar cheese, and barbecue sauce on sourdough bread. And it's like, it is so good.
They had some really awesome stuff in it. They were like reasonably priced, and you can get ice cream for, and then maybe that's a little bit more expensive, but at the same, even then it wasn't.
It was always like a frenzy guy, the soft serve.
Oh yeah.
Cyclone, maybe that's how you refer to it as.
Yeah. I forget with all of them, like what's what anymore.
Well, I think it used to be the Cyclone, and they rebranded to the Frenzy because it was a Friendly's Frenzy, but you're getting everyone into a frenzy.
Well, because then there's like the Sonic Blast and then Dairy Queen had whatever it was. But anyways, I don't maybe that's what pushed them out, was like Dairy Queen and Sonic. I don't know. But it's just like I liked Friendly's as a kid, and like in high school and stuff like that. I don't know. It's because, yeah, it's definitely gone down a ton. I don't know if they still have the one in Dartmouth that I grew up going to. But here we have one with a drive-thru.
Yeah, I think it might still be open.
Yeah. I think so. But
right across from the mall.
When I told my parents, like, all right, I said to my mom, like, Mother's Day, like, let's go get ice cream, and we'll go to Friendly's, and it's the one with the drive-thru. And she was like, "You're like drive-thru."
Oh, I like that.
Yes, yeah, it is. It's wild. Like it's just conceptually, it feels wild to me. It's just standard kind of thing, obviously.
There was a convenience store on Long Island. It was like a local chain, so there was a couple of them there. But there was one right by Hofstra that was a drive-thru convenience store.
What?
So you get liquor and everything in there too, and they would bag it all up for you and go and get it. Yeah, it was cool. It was kind of a pain, you know, if you do it once for the experience, but you pretty much hand them a list and they go and get everything. And you're just sitting in the drive-thru for a while.
So it pretty much is like only good if you're the first or second person.
Yeah, or if you have like, I imagine there's a limit on it. I'm sure you can't do your shopping. I'm sure it's like 10 items or less or something like that. Mm. But the novelty of it was pretty cool to get like a 30 rack of beer and they hand it to you. And then it's just like in your car like that. But it's good stuff nonetheless.
How was your Mother's Day other than being sick?
Well, it's tough, right? So I was under the weather, but the plan was to have Julia sleep in. So she went out with some friends the night before. Nice. I wasn't doing anything, so I was still sick. So I was like, all right. So baby's asleep. I was watching her, and the plan was to wake up and take care of the baby while she slept in. Great, no problem. Well, that's when I was like my sickest on Sunday. That I can't breathe because my nose is all clogged up. So like I was up at 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, 5 o'clock. Then the baby starts screaming at like 5:45. So then I'm up, I'm running my fever. Everything's going like to crap with the baby. Like luckily the coffee wasn't hot, but I poured some coffee and it was at too low of a side table. So Vivian goes and gets that and pours it all over herself and all over the floor. Like,
geez.
She's teething. Her back molars are coming in right now, which are more painful than the other teeth just because they're so big.
Oh.
So it's like she was like sporadically crying out. And like I didn't really know the reason why. So she's up too early. Like, I'm sick. So finally, Jules is up at 7 o'clock, and I'm like, I have to go sleep for 2 hours. Like,
wow.
So it was really kind of crappy. I felt bad. My mom and I, we made reservations with my mom, Julia, and Vivian to go out to this like brunch buffet place in town, which was nice. It was really good time, but it's just not enjoyable. We're like taking pictures in the back, you know, in the backyard of this place, and it's like really nice setup, and I'm just miserable the whole time. I didn't even care how the pictures came out or anything. I was like, let's just get this going so I can go back and go to sleep and watch Rebel Moon. So it was fun. It was a good day.
The rest of it's not fun. Just funny. The Rebel Moon part though is, but yeah, that sucks, no, man. I'm sorry.
But the Vivian dropping the coffee on her, I'm telling you, it's like a real moment. She just had it like this and just like poured it all over herself, and it was like a full cup, but it was like cold coffee. So that,
thank yeah. goodness, jeez, yeah. When she said that, like, oh my god, thanks yeah, for leading it, with the fact that it was cold.
Yeah. No, I mean that would have been a big problem, but I was just so mad. Like, you have to go to the bathroom, but when there's one parent there, it's like in the morning, you know, it's like you can't really leave. You can't like close the door and take a shit, you know. It's, you kind of bring her in with her,
yeah.
And like I don't know.
Damn, that's oh god, I can't wait to be a parent.
Oh, it's you know, the joy of life, you know. Oh. I'm sitting here complaining about it, but I literally love every moment of it. So
I do not doubt that for a single second. Anything else for you for the Discharge Depot?
No, that's just about it. Just getting over a sickness, you know. Make sure you take your vitamin C.
There you go. Two quick things for me. I watched A Simple Favor on Amazon Prime, which is a 2018 Anna
Kendrick
movie. Yeah, Anna Kendrick and yeah. Blake Lively, which I
it's a good date night movie.
Never seen it before, and I absolutely friggin' loved that thing.
Was this a Lauren suggestion? Sorry, yes. To keep cutting you off there.
No, you're good. It was Lauren's suggestion, and she's. I think we saw it pop up randomly elsewhere for some reason or another, and she was like, "Oh, I don't. We didn't have that on our list." And Anna Kendrick is great in it. I love Blake Lively's character in that movie. She's a monster, but she's also fucking awesome. So I really enjoyed that, and then we watched The Black Coach Daughter, which is an A24 movie that's available on HBO. This came out in 2015. It's a horror mystery movie, and it's got Emma Roberts in it.
Okay.
And it, like, there's, it's, you know, it's dark, it's atmospheric. Like, I love all that. But, you know, where we talk about, or we're joking about Snyder and having too much of the harvesting for the movie, like, and it's taking away from the plot, establishing the atmosphere of this movie. While I enjoy that by and large, it was like a detractor for the plot. And then there were some other decisions that were made that, like, when I was talking to Laura about it after, she felt more strongly, more negatively about it than I did afterwards. It's like a solid movie, but it's like, there's just a lot missing in the plot. There's a lot that the audience has to figure out and like speculate on your own in like a way that doesn't work. There are plenty of times where that works. This it didn't.
I've been kind of going through a little A24 shift there, you know, kind of in advance of Civil War and then post that. But there's I haven't seen that one come across. I think I'm pretty sure the whole catalog is on HBO there. Their whole,
I think you're right,
studio thing. But I do want to go back and start watching some A24 movies, films, perhaps.
Yeah, I feel very comfortable saying, like, if you watch this, you will not care for it.
Okay, well, maybe I'll skip that one then. But you know what has been on my mind is, whoa, that's a callback.
Wow, that is a real callback. Wow.
Was The Witch?
Oh, I haven't seen that one.
I think that's a horror thriller.
Yeah, I haven't seen that one. Like, I talked to Lauren about it, and I think she wasn't, like, she was like, like, we don't need to, you don't need to watch it. So have you seen it?
No, I haven't, but I've seen the trailer for it, and I've like clicked on the title card and read the synopsis, and so I've been intrigued by it, but I haven't pulled the gun. You know, like, when you know, you get paralysis by analysis when you have all the options at your fingertips. It's like, I got to make the perfect choice here. I don't want to sit through a crappy movie, so it's like I have trouble pulling the trigger sometimes.
I have that, and then the other thing I run into sometimes, this is why this show's so like important, like for me and like from a viewing standpoint, because it forces me to watch it and like don't wait for the perfect moment. Like, you have to fucking figure it out, because we have a week, but at the same time, like, you got to figure it out. Fallout. We're not reviewing Fallout. I have enjoyed Fallout, but I keep every time like I go to sit down to watch something. It's like, oh, I only have 20 minutes. I can't do Fallout because it's an hour long episode. Like I got to find something else that'll like, yeah, you know, fill the space. And it's like, dude,
Fallout, fill your hole.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. Fallout's fucking... That's what you wanted to say. Come on.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Fallout's fucking good. Like I need to make time. I like when I have the time and I don't have anything else, fucking I should be watching that.
Yeah, so, there we go. Now, what usually will happen is I'll try to find something new and then just end up going back to It's Always Sunny or Family Guy or whatever and just falling asleep.
That's I can see how that happens as well.
But next week we won't have that problem because we're going to be reviewing the whole season of X-Men 97, kind of putting a, you know, a bow on X-Men month, even though, you know, we're in May now. Mm-hmm. But you know, we'll review that on the final episode of what's the three-part saga here?
Oh, it's the something tolerance. Oh shit.
Oh, that's so bad.
Give me a second, and I'll have that for
it's
you.
It's a B to isn't
tolerance. Tolerance starts with a B. Is extinction.
Oh no! Okay.
No, Bastion is the character you're thinking.
Yes,
of.
Yes. Okay. It's. I mean, the last episode was amazing.
Yeah.
Oh
yeah.
Leaves out in a great. You know. You know what I'm talking about when I say this, but the splash page.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I imagine the final scene, from X-Men 97 in that episode, what, 9, there, that had to be an awesome splash page.
Yeah, that was friggin' crazy.
Ripped from the headlines.
Yeah, it was nuts. They've been doing a great job. This has been an outstanding series.
Yeah. I mean, this might be, you know, depending on how it ends, this might be like a 98 show.
Oh yeah, it's. I mean,
maybe
it's,
higher.
I don't know. I don't want to jinx anything. But I don't know how this ends up below an A. Like,
oh, yeah, absolutely. I think it's firmly an A, unless they do something
like
utterly stupid to reverse course there. But you know, I imagine they're going to leave you on a cliffhanger like they did in every other episode. Mm-hmm. Because you know season 2 is already done
and they've already started.
Okay.
They said a part of in our interview with Eric and Julia, they said there was a part of 2 that's done.
Okay.
I can't remember what it was though.
But the story's already outlined, unless they go back and do like revisions and stuff like that. But they know where it's kind of going. It's all
that. This is true. Yes. And then what was it? Season 3's already been like greenlit.
Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, they saw the writing on the wall too. There. So.
Yep. It's free. It's so good.
So we're going back to the 90s next week. So thank you for sitting through this with us here. So hopefully, you know, we did the work, so you don't have to.
For real.
But next week it's a free play. It's a free for all. Everyone can kind of come in and enjoy X-Men 97.
Nice.
We have the same bad time, same bad place. We can grunt about it.